quack, 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 quack,
hello everybody, welcome back to D5 the Mighty Ducks, the show where we look back at the 1994 Disney hockey sequel, D2 the Mighty Ducks. I'm Blake, and on the line I have from the Bare Naked ABC a returning guest from last season, Tracy. Tracy, how you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. I lost you there for a minute, but I'm here.
Yes, you are. Ah, technology. Technology. So, Tracy, welcome to D5. Welcome back for D2.
Thank you very much.
Yes.
I'm very happy to be back.
Yes. Well, before we get into our minutes, what's your history with D2?
So, I'll admit, I've only watched this movie twice. I watched it, like, a long time ago. I haven't watched this movie in probably 15 years at this point. I really enjoyed D1, you know, but I have to admit that if you like D2, you're not going to like me much today.
Fair enough. I
think this movie is kind of the sophomore slump of the series.
You know what's funny? This is going to date this episode, and I really don't care. The other day, me and my wife were sitting in the living room, and I was just looking for something to watch before we watched Gordon Ramsay. So I'm skimming through. And on, I think it was like HBO Family, they're airing all three Mighty Ducks movies in a row. So I'm like,
wow.
Okay, I'm going to sit here. I'm going to watch the end of Mighty Ducks. I'm going to sit here and watch the end of the original. And one would think, I spent the entire year last year watching this movie. I wouldn't want to rewatch it. But anyway, I sit there and I rewatch this movie. I'm like, damn, the end of this movie is amazing. This movie is amazing. And
yeah,
then it jumps to D2. And I'm like, you know, I love this movie, but it's nowhere near as good as I remember. It's not.
No. No. And my problem with a lot of sequel movies is they're like, oh, that worked in the first one. Let's do that exactly again. And just in a different scenario or a different situation. And rewatching this movie for tonight, not just my minutes, I rewatched the whole movie.
Fair enough.
And it doesn't come up as much in this minute, but I see that Gordon has exactly the same character arc in this movie as he had in the first movie. And what I hate about that is, like, he learned a lesson in the first movie. And then he comes back in this movie, and it's like he totally never learned that lesson to begin with and has to relearn it. And then he learns it again. I'm like, all right, please don't tell me the third movie.
No,
it
doesn't.
He's going to have to relearn this.
It's not
exact
in the third
lesson.
Movie. Don't worry. It's not. I can promise you that. It's not the third movie. The third
but
movie,
I mean, it's like,
we'll
how
get to that
is
next
this
year,
man?
The third movie is more of a Charlie story next year. So don't worry.
Yeah.
So, but no.
But let's get to these minutes.
Yeah. Well,
there,
the
there
part
are some really
about
great
this movie
moments in these minutes.
About this movie, we've been joking about the whole run. Is they really, really, really wanted to do their own version of the Miracle on Ice?
Mm-hmm.
There's
yep.
so many things in this movie that but they couldn't do it because they didn't want people to think it's a Miracle on Ice. So they just like move things around. It's the exact
right.
same story as Miracle is in 2004.
So then they just recreate it, but with kids, and they're like, okay, let's instead create this event that never actually happened.
I know. We've been through this. Actually, yeah, another episode, we broke down how this is not a real event, and we actually looked at the board. It's funny how I watch the World Juniors every single year. I love the World Junior. They do it every year. USA, Russia, and Canada are always in the same group because of television reasons. They want those teams to always face each other every year. And when they're not in the same group, it's a big like to do. There is zero reason why Canada, Russia, and Canada should not be in the same group in this made-up tournament. I'm just saying.
Yeah, instead of Russia, we have Iceland.
Yeah, and we'll get to Iceland in a minute. but anyway, we start our minutes, and we ended it when we ran into Maria, and Bombay meets Maria. That's pretty much my first note. Maria is played by Maria Eckelstein, who is most well-known from being in Santa Barbara for 172 episodes back in 91, 92. She hasn't done a whole lot, like, massive roles since then. I haven't said the soap opera Santa Barbara. I think it's when I was in high school. So, there you go.
Well, that's the thing. Like, I really liked her in this movie. And I have to sit there and go, why did she not go anywhere from after this movie? And after the, like, second scene that she's in, they go, like, she disappears.
Yeah, pretty much.
She's it's a great actress. Like, she does a really good job, especially in this first scene that she's in. Like, she really hits the lines. She does a great job with delivery, waiting for responses. Like, if you read the script, it doesn't tell her to do any of that. Maybe the director did on set, but, like, the chemistry with her and Emilio works really well here. And I just don't understand, like, why she suddenly disappeared and went back to Iceland. I mean, she's an amazing actress. She's smart. She speaks five languages.
It's
so
insane.
Like,
it's insane.
How many actresses do you get that can do that?
The only thing I could think of would be she just chose to not want to be a bigger star. Maybe she just chose not to be. That's possible. Maybe she had kids and just didn't want to be a bigger star.
Right. Well, hold on 1 second. Sorry. You may need to cut that.
Hey, don't worry. There's editing involved.
She's still doing stuff, and there's not any gaps in any of her acting. It's just all back in Iceland again after this.
Yeah, it's weird. I don't understand it. It makes no sense. But yeah,
the other thing that doesn't
make
sense. So her name is really Maria. The character's name is Maria, but they're like, oh, we have to make it different. Let's add an R.
I know. I caught that spelling.
Exotic.
I caught that. I was like, wait, what, really? That's what we're doing? Oh, yeah. I caught that, too. I was like, what? So, he's the trainer for the Iceland team. Sure, let's go with that. We finally met Wolf earlier in the film, but this is the first time we're having a one-on-one with our coach.
Before we go to Wolf, can I stop us for a second?
Of course.
Go back. One of my notes is, I really love how nonchalant that Gordon is. This is some amazing acting on Emilio's part. He's really laid back. He waits for like 2 or 3 seconds before he says, so who are you?
Yeah.
And he's waiting for her to introduce herself. He gives her that moment, and he also doesn't get flustered that she doesn't give him an answer right off.
Right.
You know, he's very great with it. I mean, this is no quack quack scene, but he takes these lines that aren't amazing, powerful lines, and just really, in this part and also with the Icelandic coach afterwards, really drives it home with the way he delivers these lines.
Yeah, he's confident without being cocky, I think, at this point. I think that's what you're going for. So, it does work. It works really, really well. So, Wolf. It's funny. We talked about him earlier when he jumped into our scene. But I will talk about him here. I was looking up some research on Maria, just so I can figure out, like, details of more on her character. And I found an article from Barstool. It's one of those, like, holiday fluff articles, and It was an article about how this coach is the worst coach of the franchise. He's by far the worst coach of this franchise because he's just bad at everything. The entire movie. Which cracked me up when I read this article. I'm like, I look at the date, I'm like, December 23rd. That explains why this was posted. I'm like, okay, that explains a lot. But yeah, the worst coach in these franchises right here. And this is one of the reasons why. He knows everything about Bombay for some reason. I don't know why he knows everything about Bombay. Which
right.
Is kind of freaky. I'm not going to lie.
Was Bombay, I mean, he was in Minnesota. Like, was he really that big a deal all of a sudden when he had this, like, win?
Well, as we learned earlier in the movie, there are literally not one, not two, but three different papers that cover that win. Like, <it's> ridiculous. And obviously, I think it's a big deal. I don't remember, like, I think it's Minneapolis, Minnesota, but, like, is it one of those things where he went for the minors because of his age, because he's older than everybody else, so people know who he is. But, like, when he goes on this whole thing about how he's like, I know all about you and having fun, and I was like, what? Why do you know that? Like, why? Were you just watching the last movie? Were you just watching the last movie?
We are playing this person. Yep, we must watch his whole movie.
Okay, you know what? That reminds me of a joke from Fuller House this season. One of the episodes of Fuller House this last season.
Okay.
They're in the attic, and the youngest kid looks at the camera and goes and says, yeah, we have these really organized, eight years of really organized videos to watch. And for some reason, they cut off after 8 years. And it gets really strange near the end.
Right.
Cracked me up. I'm like, that's a great line. I could just throw it away. That's a great line. So anyway.
Now, I pulled up the script. Because yes, I try to hear the Icelandic coach for the first lines that he's got. And I listened to it several times. I could not pick up what he was saying. He talks over Maria. And so I went to the script, and it's not in the script. I don't know if it's in Icelandic or what it is, because I can't understand what they're saying.
Oh, yeah, it doesn't say it in the script either. The first line in here is, well, you have a way with the ladies, and that's Gordon. So that's weird.
Right.
It might be Icelandic.
So I'm wondering if they're just improvising.
It wouldn't surprise me, because apparently there's a bunch of improv stuff later in the movie, which we'll get to later in the movie. It wouldn't shock me at all. You know what I mean? Like, if they did like an improv thing here, just because we're having some fun.
Now, my first note that I have for this guy is
he
looks like a young, serious Tom Welling.
I like that. I like that one.
Like, I just couldn't get past it. I kept thinking, why is Superman on here?
Why is the Icelandic Superman here? Like,
he's like Bizarro.
I like that. No, we have not been watching Crisis at all. That DC is on the line.
Not at all.
Whatsoever, no. The date is that recording at all. So... But Wolf is crazy.
Now, I don't have a lot about the interaction between the two of them, but yeah.
I don't understand
it. He's just, he is cocky, which is funny. He calls Gordon cocky, but he's the one that's cocky. Gordon
he's
is
more.
Just like totally like okay with himself.
Yeah, I believe the line is it will be our triumph even more enjoyable. What? This is hockey. What the hell are we talking about? What are we talking about? Like, why are we doing this?
This goes back to the first movie, like where people are taking this way too seriously.
I know. That became a thing. It became a running gag last season. It really did. Don't you know the end of the movie? Near the end of the movie, our favorite line is in the final game, and we were obsessed with it on the episodes we were doing. It was me, Dave, and Sean. We were obsessed, and it was I'm just doing my job when he hits Banks in the back as he's scoring a goal into the post. So I'm just doing my job. What is that? What are we doing?
Well, in the scene that you had me come in on, like, he gets fired because he's wanting to win this kid's hockey's game.
Yes.
Like, what? These guys take hockey way too seriously.
It's Minnesota. Of course they do.
And here, like, this is just like Junior Olympics, and they're still like, this guy is like out to get blood here.
he's already been kicked out of the NHL.
But
for
I really
some reason. I don't understand. You know,
in one season.
Yeah, no, not even probably a full season. Or in the '90s.
I really like this guy's giggle as he walks away, though. Like, this guy's delivery is really great. Like, watching this as an actor, I'm like, this stuff's not in the script. He must have, like, what can I do with these lines to, like, live them up, make them great, and really bring out this guy's character? Because as he's walking, he gives his little giggle. He turns around. He keeps walking, but he gives the thumbs up.
The thumbs up and the eye twitch. That was great.
Yeah, but he doesn't stop to do that. He's like, no. I'm just going to keep on walking. I have enough confidence here that I'm not going to walk in anyone.
Stride.
Everyone's going to avoid me.
I'm not going to break my stride at all. Happen.
Nothing's going to hold me down. Oh, no.
There you go. So,
sorry, I had to go there.
That's fine. So we cut to the next. We cut to our game. We are playing Italy. Okay, so unlike the last game, I was just setting people up because this is a big deal the last time we had a game. Unlike the last time where we were playing Trinidad and Tobago, which was not a real thing at all, like whatsoever, not a real thing. At least Team Italy, I was able to find stats on. I was able to find some stats on this. So, Team Italy hockey team. I did some history lesson here. They actually were in the Olympics until 2006 as a hockey team. Their best finish was 7th in 1956. They have not competed since 2006. They do compete in the World Championships, the IIHF World Championship every year. They're in this past year, they finished in 14th place.
Wow.
I think it was 16 teams. So there you go. But they did win a tournament back in 1988. This sounds like a made-up tournament, so I had to make sure this is real. They won the 1988 Thiersut Trophy. It's a tournament that took place in the Netherlands. They beat Japan in the finals. I had to make sure that was a real thing. And apparently it's the third annual and last Thiersut Cup trophy. So they, ridiculous. By the way,
I have a question going back to the Tobago one.
Go ahead.
Do you think that was them trying to once again pull away some Disney merchandise type stuff and take with some Disney stuff that they could get away with and try to basically build on the Cool Runnings idea?
I was thinking that because it's the same year. 92 is that, and then 93 is Cool Runnings. So I think you could tie them together really well. It's a good call, actually. trust me, when we were watching that, it was like stereotypes galore. Like, it was so bad. Like,
horrible. I don't need to bring us backwards, but...
Oh, it was terrible.
But then they decided to go stereotypes galore with this one.
Oh, yes.
That's why I went there.
I have the script of Goldberg taunting them. Hey, Pazan.
So
meatball,
I
want to
say my first
down.
Note for this section. My first note for this section is I don't like Goldberg. Now he is cocky.
Yes.
I mean, bad sportsmanship.
Yeah, for a goalie who the only reason he gets the wins he has is because of the team in front of him. You know, he's not that good a goaltender at the end of the day. You know.
And then he starts, like, going off on their nationality. Like, if this was a different race, he would be, like, in major trouble right here.
But notice, he did this in this game, not in the Trinidad and Tobago game. He didn't do it in that one.
Right.
Because of the race card, probably. That's a good point. But he was going to say, how do you say in Italiano, wussy? What the hell is that? Like, why would you even say that question? What are we doing?
It was so, this was so out of place, but I think it's them trying to build up to have the female goalie come in later. Like, we need to build up a reason to want to get him off the ice.
Yeah, and it will be the Iceland game that will do it. By the way, I did notice something. I just paused it just now, and I noticed this when I was going through this. There was a female referee in this game. So there you go. That's not something we see very much in hockey. So
there is. Yeah. Is she the one that dodges out of the way and lifts herself up away from the puck?
No, but she's the one that breaks up Goldberg and the Italian kid.
Oh, so she is?
She's that chick. So there you go. I just noticed it just now. Oh. She looks a lot like Audrey from AEW. That's why it caught my eye. Because now I'm looking for that kind of stuff in 2019.
Okay.
In 2020, I mean. In 2020, I'm looking for that kind of stuff. And, yeah, she's a female referee. She breaks up the fight between the Italian guy that Goldberg is like, talking shit to and Goldberg. So...
Jeez,
it's hysterical. It really is funny.
Going back real quick to that Jeff that has to jump out of the way.
Yes,
I laughed awfully at that moment. How hard are these kids hitting that even the refs don't want to get hit by these kids?
Well, there it is. I just got to it. There it is. By the way, how much did Team USA let up when they had a 7-0 lead in the first and they only won 11-0? By the way, I just, what did they do?
They're like, all right, we got this. Back off.
I do appreciate though that Russ. We don't know Russ yet, but he's Keenan Thompson. He's now impressed by them because he's destroying the Italians. He wasn't impressed by them when they were being treated in the Tobago. But when they beat the Italians, he's impressed.
I love that Keenan Thompson is in this. I'm like, this is like his perfect time of like before he came back and did SNL. Like,
oh, you
this
know
is
what?
His, like,
I'll give you a little history. No. I'll give you some history. No?
In
a future episode. This is his first role. This is his first
really?
Role. This is his debut.
Wow.
This is before. I was with you. I thought this was in the middle of all of it. No, this is pre everything. This is
holy
pre
cow.
Cal. This is pre all that. This is pre everything. This is the first thing on his IMDb.
This is a perfect role for him, though, because
that's
like his personality, like this guy who just likes to heckle people.
But it's okay, I have to comment on something. This is so ridiculous that it's caught because I posted on Keenan Thompson. And next to him is some girl wearing a purple shirt that says, "I'm too sexy to be right-handed."
Oh, my gosh. That's an extra that wanted to be noticed right there.
This is a Disney movie. What? I never noticed that before.
Wow.
It says, "I'm too sexy to be right-handed."
Now, wait a minute. When did "I'm Too Sexy" even come out?
I have to look that up, but that's hysterical. Right? I've never noticed that before.
I gotta look it up now.
That is
now
too
I'm curious.
That is too funny. 1991.
"I'm Too Sexy," 1991.
This is 2 years before this. So that's hysterical.
Yep.
That's funny. I wonder if anybody caught that like, in Disney. Like, that's hysterical.
Oh, I'm guessing they didn't because they
There's
would have
no
like,
way
totally
be allowed.
Had to go back and blur that.
That's so funny. Oh, man. Hey, yeah,
I mean, Disney is very puritanical at this point.
That's fantastic. That's great. Because I was too busy watching this last night. Okay, a little more. Obsession we've been doing on this show is the newspaper articles. We've been obsessed with these since the beginning. At the beginning of the movie, we have legit articles, like legit articles about the games and about the history of things. Ever since we've gotten to LA, the articles have been more ridiculous after another. This one, on this paper, it says USA beats Italy, Bombay team, Rooster 2-0. And then the right corner headline says, Fuhrer says strike is possibility.
What?
Fuhrer?
Wow.
Fuhrer says strike is possibility. That's what it says.
Wow. I did not see that.
That's hysterical. And I'm also looking at the left side, and the side headlines are Wolverine cleared, stadium safety, which is hysterical. Sign in, sun rises, Bankroll Tide, Rocky Top, and Pat's Hat. I don't know what any of that means, but there you go. USA Today, fake articles.
There you go. Yeah. They are throwing some shade at USA Today right there.
Yeah, Pure says strike is possible. That's fantastic.
Wow.
Oh, man. We love making fun of those. So anyway, we cut to our next sequence, which is we'll have the song Mr. Big Stuff. This is the Martha Wash version playing in the background for the remainder of this sequence.
Mr. Big Stuff, who do you think you are? Mr. Big Stuff, you're never gonna get my love.
This is a ridiculous sequence. This is an absolutely ridiculous
sequence. I have to say, like, before we even jump into that, like, I went back and I looked, because, of course, music's my thing.
Of course.
And the soundtrack for this movie, horrendous. Like, I'm sorry. I looked at this.
You know what's funny?
Like, these are
horrible.
I own
the soundtrack somewhere. Somewhere in my DVD collection is this soundtrack. Somewhere. I know I
am sorry for
you. I know
you.
I bought it. I own this and the Jump 3 soundtrack, so...
A great song for this would have been I'm Too Sexy. That would have been great.
And I'm too sexy for your party. Too sexy for your party. No way I'm disco dancing. I'm a model, you know what I mean. And I do my little turn on the catwalk. Yeah, on the catwalk. On the catwalk, yeah. I do my little turn on the catwalk.
We have Mr. Big Stuff, so
right,
which still works. It still works. You know what I mean? Like, it
yes,
works for what we're doing here. But yeah, what do you think of Tibble? What do you think of him? Because I haven't asked you because he's been in the internet. What do you think of Tibble as a character?
I like him. I like the actor. He's really great. He was on L.A. Law, and I really enjoyed him on that. And I just, as a character himself, I don't like the person.
No.
I mean, I don't like the character.
Yeah.
He's slimy, but I don't know. I would never trust him if I were Gordon.
Now that I'm thinking about it, and I never brought this up, I'm thinking of this right now. How is it Gordon's a former lawyer? What would think a former lawyer would not trust somebody like him? Like, just saying. Like, former lawyers wouldn't trust a lawyer. Like, why would you trust this guy?
Exactly.
Like, let's be honest here. Now that I'm thinking about it.
Well, and he ends up being slimy. I mean, eventually, but not to give the plot away, but...
No.
I mean, we're like, 40 years old at this point on this movie. Is that the limit for spoilers?
Something like that. You know what the limit? The limit on like random chatter is once the DVD comes out, it's all your fault.
Okay.
That's the rule of random chatter.
Well, then I am way past fine.
I like that rule.
We're way past fine because this goes back to VHS. So
by the way, can I say I'm looking at the script and I think it's hysterical that the lyrics of the song are in the script. That's funny.
That is how I found this section when I was looking for it.
That is so funny.
Label E numbers.
Oh my god, that's hysterical. By the way, the models, none of these models are on IMDb. I wanted to see if I could find some obscure, and none of them are listed even uncredited. So maybe they're just models that happen to be hanging out here. Like, none of them are listed.
You want free press coverage? Come on over.
Come on to D2. Because the problem is, they probably didn't want to pay for anybody major because we have so many celebrities coming up in a bit. So many celebrities.
Oh, yeah. Wait till we get to that. Oh,
I
my
know,
goodness.
I know. I have so many notes. I have so many notes.
Oh, my goodness.
But this photo shoot is hysterical. This whole photo shoot's funny. Like, it's so over the top.
I like the hair blowing scene.
Yes! It makes no sense for a guy. That's what makes it even funnier.
That is what makes it absolutely hilarious.
Oh, my God. But you know what's funny? You can tell Gordon's single because he's just, like, almost, like, physically flirting with all the girls. This entire sequence.
Yep. He's like, oh, attention? Sure,
attention,
why not?
All these good-looking chicks around me in hockey jerseys, which is weird, but it works for me. Like,
yeah.
Oh, man. I have it frozen on like the one where he's posing with his arms open, which is hysterical. That's not a poster. I don't know what it is. That's fantastic. Oh, man. So we cut to the celebrity party banquet thing, whatever it is. What are we in LA or Malibu at this point? I've lost track of where we are. But so Tibbles is walking through, and he's going to introduce, and I do love the chick Terry that they talk to, because she makes his point without even realizing it. Like, it's the best thing ever.
Oh, yeah.
His whole point is that in this town, everybody is something other than what they really are. And he asked Terry, I'm your server. Let me ask you, what do you want to be? Head up in for a major studio. Terry. She is played by Leah Lale. Her I found stats on. She played Kay Simmons in a show called VIP. I don't know where the show's from. From 1998 to 2002, she was in 88 episodes. But she was also Little Nicky. So
Little Nicky. Why does that sound familiar?
Adam Sandler.
Oh, she was in Little Nicky. Who was she?
She was Krista in Little Nicky. I don't remember the movie that well to know how big of a character that is. So there you go.
I'm going to have to look that up because I'm like, wow, I want to know.
Yeah, so
they wrote her horrible lines there. What waitress at a celebrity party walks up and introduces themselves by their name?
Better question is, we're at a celebrity thing. She's working. Most people at a job like this have a name tag on anyway. So what does it matter? It would have been better if she was wearing a name tag. If she was wearing a name tag, we could still do the exact same bit. Like, we could still do it.
Yes.
So.
Well, and here's the thing. Like, maybe she's doing it to go around and kind of get connected to people and hope to get a job lined up. Would you do that with just anyone? Are you going to go up to the celebrities? I mean, Gordon is not a celebrity at this point.
Not officially, no.
He's just going to randomly walk up to this guy.
Oh, man.
I mean, you've got Wayne Gretzky. You've got Cam Neeson and
Neal in there.
We have. Like,
we'll
got these big celebrities. Right.
But, oh, man.
Yeah, we're going to get there, but not for very long.
No, we'll get to everybody in a minute. by the way,
going up and introducing to them.
No. I do want to say, though, there is one celebrity that I had to look it up, and he's not, like, one of the big, like, guests, like, big celebrity guests, but Stephen Brill is at this party. Do you know who Stephen Brill is?
No.
The writer of this movie.
He's like, I'm gonna insert myself in here.
Yeah, it's hysterical. He's in this. It's so funny. I was like, Stephen Brill, why did that name ring a bell? And then I clicked on, like, oh, he's the writer of the movie. He actually wrote himself into all three movies. He wrote himself in every movie. So
nice.
So that's funny. So anyway, let's get to the actual celebrities in this sequence.
So this scene. Like, could have done with being 30 seconds longer.
Really?
Because I feel like they rushed the scene way too much. Like, they rushed their introduction of the celebrities. The ones they do introduce, they only do first name and then boom, off to the next thing. Gordon has no reaction to meeting these big name hockey giants.
We don't think you would, you know?
He would totally, like, his big aspiration has been to play in national hockey. And
it was.
For a very
short
time. But, like, these are, like, the biggest men in hockey, and he's just like, nice to meet you.
Exactly.
Like this. He should be slobbering here, and they should be, like, full name introductions.
Let's start with the hockey guys, because this is my expertise. We have Cam Neely, who, by the way, just everybody knows, again, this is 93-94 season, so keep that in mind for everyone listening, for hockey fans. So, he's a Boston Bruins legend, 1983-1996 in Boston. Never won a Stanley Cup, but he is a Hockey Hall of Famer in 2005. He is the current president of the Boston Bruins. So there you go. Chris Chelios, is a name I know really well, for one reason or another. But he played for Montreal, Chicago, Detroit, and Atlanta between 1984 and 2010. Mm-hmm. He won a Stanley Cup in Montreal in 86 and was part of the 2002-2006 Detroit Red Wings Stanley Cup championships. The one I remember more than anything else is the 1996 World Cup of Hockey. He was on Team USA. And if anyone's never seen Game 3 between Team Canada and Team USA of that series, and you're a hockey fan, go out of your way and see one of the best hockey games ever played. Ever played. So that's that. And I say that, and I'm not joking. The third period is one of the best third periods of hockey I've ever seen. And I've been watching hockey since 1994. So.
That's saying a lot.
It's saying a lot. So anyway, he also got a silver medal at the 2002 Olympic Games for Team USA, losing to Team Canada in the gold medal game in overtime. I'll never forget that. And then also Hockey Hall of Fame, class of 2013. Luc Robitaille, another legend. LA Kings, Pittsburgh Penguins, New York Rangers, Detroit Red Wings, won the Stanley Cup on that exact same 2002 Stanley Cup Championship team with Chris Chelios. Hockey Hall of Famer, 2009, has a statue in front of the Staples Center. He is the current president of the LA Kings. He won two Stanley Cups as the president of the Kings in 2012 and 2014. And something I needed to write down because it's Disney related. He did a cameo in Phineas and Ferb. So,
oh
yes, they did a New Year's episode, and it's called For Your Ice Only, and they did like a hockey theme thing, and Luc Robitaille is in that episode. So there you go.
Nice.
So there's our hockey players, legends, absolute legends.
Yes.
In USA hockey.
And they just give first names.
But of course,
like, I can understand if the and I can't remember his name now, but the big wig, like, if he's just calling him by first name to kind of show off.
Right.
I would expect to have Gordon go, well, yeah, I know these guys, and like say, yeah, I know you, like Cam Neely. Oh my goodness, like, and make
a
big deal
about it. Give him
a minute
to freak out. Give him a minute to freak
out. Yeah.
You know.
Like, these are his like idols.
It's like later with Gretzky. Everybody freaks out. Like, they're allowed to freak out with Gretzky later. But, like, here, right. It's like, how do you not freak out? Like, they're all... I know they're not as big as they will become. Like, they're going to be bigger once this movie's out, like, down the road. But they made a bigger
deal.
But
they're actually...
Yeah. They made a bigger deal.
They're actually pretty deal at this point, still.
I know. But last movie, they made a bigger deal about Mike Modano. You know what I mean? Like...
Right.
...than we're doing here. And no offense to Mike Modano. I love Mike Modano too as a Team USA person, and he broke my damn heart. That broke my heart. Hey, Mike Modano has the game winning goal in game 5 of the Stanley Cup Finals against the Devils. The Devils won the series in 6. But the reason that's important, it was a 1-0 triple overtime loss. It's finals week. And yeah. We're all watching a triple overtime hockey game because if the Devils win, they win the Stanley Cup. So, and Mike Modano gets a goal in triple overtime. So, yes, that's Mike Modano history with me. But anyway, back to this. Our next couple of celebrities we jump to, our name everybody knows, is Greg Louganis and Christy Yamaguchi.
Yes.
And... My mother loves them. Don't get me wrong. My mother loves them. She's a huge ice skating person. Loves these two. I don't know if...
I love Greg Louganis.
Yeah, I'm just saying, I'm not sure if people, like, that didn't have, like, their parents loving them at the age of this... At the time of this movie, knew who they were. You know what I mean? Like, as a kid... I'm not sure if I knew who they were if my parents didn't love them so much.
Well, I know I knew Greg Louganis, but I was also, like, I loved watching the Olympics anyways. And plus, I was a swimmer, so I would watch the diving every single year.
True.
So, yeah. I knew Greg Louganis.
Yeah, well, Greg Louganis, obviously, a 6 gold, he actually won a gold medal gold medal in diving in 1984 and 1988. Wore four medals altogether. And he won 13 gold medals in his career overall, including world championships, which is insane. That's just insane. Awesome. Obviously, Christy Yamaguchi.
And if I remember correctly,
yes.
And I could be wrong.
Go ahead.
He's the one that hit his head on the diving board, got stitched up, and came back and
yes.
finished that. That's when he won the gold, one of the gold medals.
Absolutely. I think you're absolutely right on that one. I remember that. I remember hearing about that one. And, of course, Christy Yamaguchi, the legend, 1992 Olympics, being part of the singles ice skating gold medalist. She also won five other gold medals in world championships. So, legend in the Olympics. But I have a question. If we're in the world, if this is a juniors tournament, why do they have Olympians here?
This isn't called the, like, they didn't even want to call it the Junior Olympics because they're afraid to get sued, so they call it the Goodwill Games.
The Junior Goodwill Games.
You're not having, I can understand if you were doing Junior Olympics and you bring Olympians in, you can't even go that far, but you're going to bring Olympians in anyways.
Yeah, exactly. Because he doesn't introduce them as our Olympians, which is so funny. You're like, what? That makes no sense. But anyway, so we meet our next athlete is one that needs no introduction, but I'll do it anyway. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. And when I'm doing my research on Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, and I'm like, this is fucking ridiculous. It's like looking at Michael Jordan stats. Like, it's absolutely
bad. Yeah.
But for our young listeners that have no idea who we're talking about. So Kareem Abdul-Jabbar won three NCAA championships as part of UCLA during UCLA's golden time in the 60s. He was drafted by the Bucks, number one, won a championship in Milwaukee in 1971, and then went to Los Angeles, played there for 20 years, won the 1982, 85, 87, and 88 NBA championship, and then won it two more times as an assistant coach. He is the all-time leading scorer in NBA history.
Uh-huh.
With 38,387 points. Also, much like Luke Robitaille earlier, has a statue in front of the Staples Center. So, there you go. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. That's a name everybody knew. No matter who you are, you know who he is.
Yeah.
But that's hysterical. He just towers over every single person here.
That was my note. Did the director have it in for Emilio at this point? Was he like, I have to take him down a notch? And, like, Emilio's not a tall person to begin with. But let's put him next to, like, the tallest human on the earth at this moment
pretty
in time.
Pretty much. Absolutely.
I mean, they learn from it in the next scene and they have him sitting. It makes it a little bit better.
You do,
but
yes.
Right here, they're like, he has to, like, stare up at him so hard.
So we cut back to who is this he's talking to? Is this Stephen Brill? Like, is this his? Who he's talking to this entire time? And he starts talking about coaches, and he just names up Pat Riley, which is hysterical to me. That's just so funny. We keep bringing up Pat Riley. We talked about him earlier, but it's just funny to me that he keeps getting brought up.
Yeah.
So, and then we come back outside. This is the most ridiculous conversation in this entire movie. And that says a lot. Because they're talking about making the Air Bombay loafer for kids who want to coach. What? Why?
And this is something he carries on throughout the rest of the movie.
Yes.
Little tiny conversations throughout the rest of the movie. He keeps coming back to this.
But why? Like, I don't understand.
I don't know. It took me a while. I was watching later on the movie, and the female hockey goalie.
Yes, Julie.
Hockey goalie. But Julie. The female goalie comes into the office to talk to him about moving in. And this is the conversation he's having with someone on the phone.
I will have to pay attention to that later. That's funny.
Like, he is trying to sell these shoes again.
It's such a stupid concept, too. And it makes a valid point. Are there enough kids that actually want to coach? What?
Right!
What? It's so ridiculous. Like, it's so over-the-top ridiculous. even in this movie, even with the next bit we're going to do, that is more ridiculous than this.
Oh. The next scene, I can't wait to get
funny.
To.
At least the next bit is funny, you know? It's stupid, but it's funny. So we jump to Rodeo Drive, which everyone knows in Los Angeles.
Rodeo Drive, right?
Rodeo Drive. Every time. That makes me laugh for no reason. There is no reason for that joke to be funny. Like, there's zero reason.
It works, though, because the guy's from Texas.
Yeah, because it's Dwayne, and his whole character is over-the-top Texan. So, like, it works. It works so well.
All right, so here's where people are going to start to hate me.
Go for it.
I'm going to go on my rant now.
Do it.
This is one of the things I don't like about this movie. This is a perfect example.
Okay.
Maybe you've talked about this before, but why wasn't Joshua Jackson in this scene?
You know,
you have an amazing big actor, and he's not part of this team going out to do this scene.
You know what's funny? I never even thought about it. That's a very valid point. I never thought about it.
Like, they developed the whole next movie around him.
Well, keep in mind, he's still not Pacey Witter, so keep that in mind.
Right.
Time. By the time we get to D3, he's almost Pacey Witter, so keep that in mind.
Right. But he's not a big character in this movie. Like, he's a very minor in this movie.
Yes.
I don't know why they, like, dialed down his role so much, but he should have been in the scene. Like, this is a scene about them joining... Well, okay, wait. Let me fix that. This scene should have been about them joining together and becoming more of a team. I think that's what it was intended to do, but we already had that earlier with the whole prank scene.
Yes, which is a fantastic scene. That's a kid scene. That's a great kid scene. This is just weird.
This scene
is so weird.
This scene has no use in this movie except comedy. And this is one of the things I hate about this movie is, in the Mighty Ducks, every scene, even the funny ones, they had a reason. It drove the plot. It brought something to the story somehow, and it developed the storyline. This scene, and there's a couple other ones throughout the movie just like this, it's only there to provide laughs, for laughs' sake. And it's just bad writing. Like, you don't have Charlie, you don't have Fulton. I mean, you left Foggy Nelson out of the scene, too. I mean, you didn't know he was going to be Foggy Nelson yet, but come on.
Yeah. Well, by the way, I did notice something in the credits with Josh Jackson in this movie. He is the first name that comes up after Emilio Estevez in the credits. So keep Josh Jackson is still a big deal. He's not as big as he will become, but he's still a big deal. So just want to throw that out there.
But I think if you're going to – but that's once more another reason he should have been in the scene. If you don't have Emilio, you should have Joshua Jackson in every single scene. It should be one or the other every single scene.
But it's sad.
It's a major loss.
We have Dwayne, we have Goldberg, we have Averman, and we have, crap, I can't think of his name. I can't think of it, but it'll come to me. Jesse.
Yes.
We have them, I love the Rodeo Drive joke. I love that joke. I don't know why, because it's so stupid, and it makes me laugh, but.
It is a good joke.
As I'm sitting here and I'm listening to this last night as I'm going through this, I'm like, they're making really, really terrible Beverly Hills jokes. Like, terrible. Like, Weezer is disappointed by how terrible these jokes are. Like, so bad. They have to make a 90210 joke. You have the joke, where are all the hills? Terrible joke. And what about the hillbillies? What? Okay. And we have the world movie stars. But I do love Averman's line. I want to know if this is improv. I should have asked him this when I had him on the show. But wasn't that the captain from the Love Boat? That's funny. Funny line.
That was a good line.
That's funny.
That was a good line. That one and the Rodeo Drive joke were the only ones that made me snicker.
Like that's at least a good like throw out line. That's something I would say. You know what I mean? Like...
Right.
The other ones are just dumb. Like, they're just dumb jokes.
But the whole rest of the scene, I'm just sitting there just groaning. And maybe it's because I'm an adult, but I'm just groaning watching the rest of the scene.
So, okay. So, apparently Goldberg wants to go shopping for some reason. Sure. But he wants to buy his mom a t-shirt from Beverly Hills. So, what's walking around Aldeo Drive to try to afford a t-shirt, which is funny to me. The first location, by the way, that they try to buzz into is not real. I tried to look up the address on the button. It is not a real address. So I just wanted to look
it up. That's why it doesn't work.
Yeah. It's funny to me.
Well, they buzz it. There's not a real address.
The first buzzer
doesn't
have an address. The second buzzer, it says Theodore. Where they do the whole stupid joke about the drive-through. That's stupid. But
okay.
That's
yeah.
not a real address. I did crack up at the at them leaning on the car and the talking to you alarm. That made me laugh. Because that's
yes.
something that would happen. You know what I mean? Like, that's realistic at least. But yeah, Theodore, 453 North Rodeo Drive, not a real location at all.
Aww.
I did look it up. But Averman, at least Averman is the one that's doing the stupid joke, because it's Averman, he can get away with it. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
You expect this from Averman. You don't expect this from the rest of them. So, we'd like four burgers, what would you like to drink? Sure. Okay, that's fine. Whatever. It's Averman, yeah. He can get away with it. And then we jump to the next place, which is a real place. By the way, Les Habitudes. I really thought this was going to be a fake place. I really did, because it's a terrible name. But it's a legit 5-star clothing shop in Rodeo Drive. Okay.
And they let this scene happen in it?
Apparently they did. Or at least associated with it. One or the other. You know what I mean? Like,
oh my goodness.
Is they real? Like, it was a fake location. You could probably let it slide. Because it's real.
Yes.
Because it's real. But somehow, Goldberg.
It makes them look so bad.
And they could look terrible. Because Goldberg convinces them that he is Aaron Spelling's nephew.
Yes.
What? What? Really? Is that,
why would
when
anyone?
When I was younger, this is dumb. Even when I was younger, this was stupid.
Why would any adult believe that in Hollywood?
Exactly.
Why would anyone in Beverly Hills go, yes, that, like, I'm not going to even bother to verify that.
Yeah, exactly. But they want to piss off Uncle Aaron, which I did crack up at the, no, Hank Aaron. That's a stupid joke, but it made me laugh.
That's a nice little one.
That's Goldberg. If it's from the character, it works. That's a Goldberg line. He's a wise ass from Philly.
Right.
He's a wise ass from Philly. He'd have a line like that. So at least it's not completely destroying the character. But so they sit down, and they get offered juice, which is hysterical. Orange juice in a glass like that, which is funny to me. And
right.
That is where we end our minutes before they get recognized.
Oh my goodness.
But okay, I know it's not even part of these minutes, but I have to say this here, and it's going to come up in the next episode. If these random ladies sitting here recognize them, because they're in the Junior
yes.
World Games, and people are watching this ridiculous tournament, and you know who they are.
Yes.
Number one, shouldn't they
enough so
in?
That in?
Yeah, go ahead.
Enough so that the people in Beverly Hills are watching them.
Yeah, they know who they are. Now, my question here is, if you know who they are, and the people here don't know who they are, why aren't they getting in anyway based on celebrity? Like, there are celebrities.
Yes.
Let's be honest here. Yes, they're kids,
maybe it's because Goldberg has it's because Goldberg has the mask on the whole time, the goalie mask. So
that's valid. Valid. But they're Team USA, but we'll get to that in our next episode. This is a fun, crazy 5 minutes.
Really, it is.
5 minutes.
I'm not back again for the rest of this movie, so I have a couple things I really want to throw out there.
Do it.
I'm going to leave it off with the negatives. I'm going to finish with the positive.
Go for it.
I was so angry during the gang getting back together scene and the first Iceland game. You haven't hit it yet. I get so angry when refs don't follow the rules. And she gets out on the ice. She pushes two boys down, and she's kicked out of the game. Then the guy comes over from Iceland and hits Banks so hard on the stick that he's probably broken his hand.
Mm-hmm.
Nah,
or at least
penalty box.
Or something. Or wrist.
What?
Or something,
what? She pushed the guy down. They did not get injured, and she's out of the game. Mm-hmm. They hit after the whistle was blown and broke his wrist. No, just penalty. Uh-huh. No big deal.
No, I know. Trust me, I know. I'm well aware. There's a lot of those.
The other thing, the last thought I have on this movie that's negative is I don't like that Gordon's not the hero.
Oh.
He, in the first movie, he was the hero. He came around. He was like the anti-hero because he didn't, he learned his lesson. It's a comedy in that he learns his lesson, he turns around, becomes this great person. In this movie, he's not the hero. He's not the one that sets up the street ball, that teaches them everything they need to know for the game. He teaches this team nothing other than the fact he comes back and he says, I made a mistake. Like, that's his growth. That's what he brings to the team, is that he made a mistake. Everything else and everyone else learns from someone else. And I'm like, no. Gordon's our hero of this movie. He should be teaching them all the things that they're missing throughout the whole story. And it really, really makes me angry.
All right.
But, on a good note, I do have to throw a shout-out. Thank you, guys. I have to say, I love that the girl, the goalie, is from Bangor, Maine, and they put her in the right colors.
Yes.
They put her in the right colors for her jersey. Bangor, Maine would be in red because they are the Red Rams. Fair enough. Yes. So good job, whoever did your research on that one. That's my old backyard. I came from the Bangor area, so
okay, fair enough.
And it's Bangor, not Banger. Whoever says Banger, you're wrong. But, so I was happy to see that. Like, nice little throw in there. They put Bangor on her jersey. I'm like, oh, cool. Now we know where in Maine. So.
Mm-hmm. And I think she says it later in the joining together duck scene. She does say Bangor, Maine later on. So.
She say Banger?
No, Bangor, Maine. She does say it right. She does say it right.
Oh, she does say Bangor. Okay, yes. Good.
But later on, though. Later on.
So those are my final thoughts on this movie. I do love Mighty Ducks. I'm just not as big a proponent on this movie because of some of the major misses they make.
Oh, no. It's fair. It's absolutely fair. And you know what? This is not a perfect movie, like, on any level. It's not. But it's fun. It's a fun, silly hockey movie.
It is still enjoyable.
It's a fun, silly hockey movie at the end of the day. But, yeah, there's so much in this movie that is so weird and so dumb, even compared to the last movie.
It is still a movie I will show my kids. I think it's still one that's enjoyable to watch. I think it's still great.
You know, the funny part is, we did a whole two episodes on the finale last season. We're going to do the same thing this year with the same two guests. And we were having so much fun last year realizing how bad the penalties were the game at the end of the movie. Like, they're so bad. Like, so bad. Like, and it's going to be worse in this movie. It's going to be worse when we get there.
Oh, my goodness. Like, if you figure it out, like,
Yeah, it was so terrible. It was so bad last year, and this is going to be even worse in the Iceland-USA games when we get to those.
Watching the first Iceland game, I was in pain watching it, going, nope, no, no.
Oh, man. So,
I can't wait for you guys to get to that so I can hear you guys go up and down on that one.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. There are two. We have a couple of guests for the first Iceland game, and then the second one. The second Iceland game is so long, it goes over five episodes.
Wow.
Actually, no, 5.5 episodes.
Wow.
It goes over. It literally.
And they couldn't take 30 seconds of that to give it to the celebrities?
Yeah, it's literally. We go from hour 15 minutes away until an hour 41. That's the entire Iceland game. I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 guests throughout that slot. So. Ridiculous how many people have signed up.
Have fun.
So, Tracy, thank you so much. This went longer than I think either one of us expected to, but hey, it's our longest episode so far. That's not a bad thing.
I'm a little windy.
It's fine. Give her one of your plugs. Yes. Go for it.
So the obviously the big one is Barenaked ABCs. You can download it anywhere that you get any of the podcasts and streaming services. We cover all the Barenaked Ladies songs from A until Z, actually from 7 to
seven to Y. Yes.
Because we don't have any Z's yet, but they're coming out with a new album sometime next year. Maybe they'll throw a Z song in there. I've written to them. I've asked them to hit a Z. Like, it's wrong. They even have a Q song. Like, they, no one writes a song that starts with Q. No. Like, come on, guys. Get a Z in there. Maybe an X as well. But, yeah, so we cover them all. Right now we're on G's. We have you on quite often, which is wonderful because it's a lot of fun talking with you about those wonderful songs.
I love going on.
Yeah. next week, well, this is I don't know what you got coming up. So...
This is going up in like May. So this is like a while. May. This is going to be a while from now. So
by this point, we're well into the H's. We might even be starting with the I's by that point.
Right.
So we're getting quite a ways into the alphabet now, which is good because we still got like 4 years left at this point.
Yeah,
so.
I was gonna say, is it like is it, are when you get done, I'm gonna be done with this trilogy. I'm gonna have like another movie done by the time you get done with your show.
You're gonna probably have a whole other trilogy done by the time we get done with this show. The way they keep releasing albums,
I have a list of movies that I have after the D5 trilogy, after the D3 trilogy. So it's like, anyway,
we'll get there.
Yeah.
But yeah, so we have that. We also have at bowlingstormtrooperentertainment.com. Not only do we have the Barenaked ABCs, but hopefully within the next year, I keep saying this, but I'm really working hard at editing, and I stink at editing, which is why it's taking so long. But hopefully we will have Bowling for Alderaan, the movie, up by that point.
Right.
Star Wars parody. So... it's still in the process.
Well, there you go. As for me here at D5, you can find me on all the social media, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, especially Instagram, because the graphic that associates with this, and I have some fun over there. You can find me, Riley206, on Twitter. And next week, I will have Neil McGowan from Bat Minute here to continue on with this movie. And I joke that this is our longest episode. I haven't had Neil McGowan on yet. So
he's gonna outdo me.
Trace, you think you talk. Neil, at least you stayed on topic. At least you stayed on topic.
You heard that, Neil? It's a challenge. Can you stay on topic?
A lot of non sequiturs, more than likely next week. So, Neil McGowan, that minute next week to continue on with the movie as we get to see the private collection inside of the store. Just so stupid. It just says, in quotation marks, private collection. That's all it says.
Yes.
So, that's all next week. Tracy, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank you for having me.
No problem. And thank you all for listening. I'll see you on next week. Have a good day, everybody.
And when everyone says it can't be done, ducks fly together.